Dr. Oz, who hangs out with Marina Abramovich and who has received $120,000 from the Israeli lobby, promotes implantable chips and transgenderism.
Do you remember when your parents thought you were a boy?
A little bit.
Talk to me about that a little bit.
Like, how did it make you feel when I used to take you and get your hair cut off at the barbershop on base?
It made me very angry.
Mm-hmm. You did not like your haircut. Why not?
Because I'm a girl, not a boy.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard, who was sold to us as an anti-war personality and who has received $40,000 from the Israeli lobby, is now saying we need to go to war against Islam.
Joe Biden, just recently, pausing weapon shipments to Israel. How do you see that? I mean, there are folks that say he's on the side of Hamas at this point.
He is acting out of fear, which is why he has failed, like previous administrations before him, to wage this counter-ideological warfare against this Islamist ideology whose goal is to establish Islamic rule over the entire world. Mm-hmm. Even with what's happening in our college campuses, even knowing that this is Hamas, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, this is their objective. He refuses to call it out for what it is because he's afraid of being called an Islamophobe. Mm-hmm. And it's the same reason why he is not taking seriously the need to defeat Hamas.
Incoming Senate Majority Leader John Thune, who has received $460,000 from the Israeli lobby, is warning that the International Criminal Court may become a threat to the U.S.
Now you have the International Criminal Court, or the ICC, and its prosecutor pursuing warrants against Israeli officials. That is outrageous, and it is unlawful. The ICC rogue actions are a threat to our ally Israel, and left unchecked, it could pose a threat to America in the future. So to our allies in Israel, and to the Jewish people around the world, my message to you is this. Reinforcements are on the way.
If you were wondering why the new Trump administration is looking more like Israel first than America first, according to Howard Lutnick, Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has been advising him on how to staff the administration.
So you're the co-chair of the Trump transition team, is that right?
That's correct.
So in the first Trump administration, a lot of lobbyists got appointed to prominent cabinet positions. Mark Esper, defense secretary, for example, was the top lobbyist at Raytheon. Lots of other examples. Is that a philosophy that you would want to see perpetuated in a second Trump administration? Would it differ? What's the status of that?
No lobbyists are part of the transition. So I don't think so at all. I think we have the greatest group of potential, you know, people who want to serve that you've ever seen. We have the leaders of America.
So no lobbyists in a second Trump administration?
I would not expect people who are lobbyists to be a material part. You can't say none. It's 4,000 people joining, so that's a silly thing.
Senior level cabinet positions, let's say.
I don't think so.
Is Jared Kushner coming back?
I don't comment on people. I told you that's not it, but Jared Kushner is a big help to me. The people.
He's actively helping you on this project?
He is absolutely actively helping me because everybody's helping me. J.D. Vance is helping me. Everybody's helping find the most talented people they have.
Jared Kushner is a longtime family friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. The Kushner family, like the Trump family, are in the real estate business, and the Kushners have been doing business in Israel for years. Earlier this year, Jared spoke of Gaza's valuable waterfront property.
There are real fears on the part of Arabs, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of them, who think once Gazans leave Gaza, Netanyahu's never going to let them back in.
Maybe, but I'm not sure there's much left of Gaza at this point. So, you know, if you think about even the construct, like, you know, Gaza was not really a historical precedent, right? It was the result of a war. You know, borders are changed historically over time. And so my sense is I would say, how do we deal with the terror threat that is there so that it cannot be a threat to Israel or to Egypt, right? I think that both sides are spending a fortune on military. I think neither side really wants to have, you know, a terrorist organization enclaved right between them. And Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable. It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but I think from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. I think proactively recognizing a Palestinian state would essentially be rewarding an act of terror that was perpetrated into Israel. So it's a super bad idea in that regard.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.